Yo, what's the deal, cuz?
Hey, what's the deal, cuz? How you doing?
Hey, pretty good. I'm Dre Chili, by the way.
And I'm AZ Shan.
And this is What's the Deal, Cuz?
Yes, the podcast where we discuss topics pertaining to the Black experience.
We hope you guys tune into the podcast regularly and that you enjoy the actual audio experience with us. Thank you.
You know, it's crazy because like it's 2021 now, you know, and it's funny that we had talked about how we wanted to do like a little recap of 2020 and how like, you know, our blessings for the new year and all that stuff. But now 2021, it had already started off with some shit, you know.
2021 is starting off the way it is because people are depressed from 2020, and instead of, you know, taking the time to reflect on or try to have a positive outlook heading into 2021, they brung a lot of the emotional baggage and garbage in 2020 into 2021, in my humble opinion.
I guess I agree with you in that regard. Like, people are bringing their anger and emotions from the previous year into this year, but honestly I just think that it's a carryover from last year because there's so much stuff that's going on right now, that's important things happening, like, you know, with the Georgia race and how both of the Democratic nominees won. I think that one of them, they're still kind of like tallying the votes because it's very close, but it's pretty much, you know, sealing the deal, man, as far as the Senate being taken over by the Democratic Party. So it's like, I feel like a lot of the protesting that's going on at the Capitol right now is in response to that. But I think it's also in response to the Senate is like counting or something like that, or the
Senate is essentially certifying the Electoral College that is received from each state. You know, what's interesting is that they do that every, you know, 4 or 8 years whenever the president is elected, right, or reelected, and nobody pays attention to it. But since you have, you know, the orange man who basically, you know, has called and cried and waved the whole election fraud since he lost on November 6th, that particular day, January 6th, which is today, a lot of people are paying attention to. So,
well, I think it's crazy because really, I mean, what is the alternative? What's the outcome? I mean, because at this point, like, they're over here trying to discount certain votes, but it's like, which votes do you discount? Which ones don't you discount at this point? I mean, what are you going to do? You know, you're going to discount Arizona votes, but then you have to discount the Georgia votes. Then you have to discount the votes in Pennsylvania. It's like there's so many different paths of winning that he gained. Like, you know, he it's just like, I think it was like over 300 Electoral College votes that he obtained. So it's like, in order to go back and reverse, you'd have to reverse all of those. And then who's to say, okay, you're gonna reverse all those, so now we're gonna reverse everything on your side as far as with Donald Trump. It's like, it just becomes this rabbit hole. It's like, what's the point? And then also, if it didn't make it clear in people's mind that the results are the results, I think that, you know, Georgia pretty much put the nail in the coffin, because it would be different, I think, for example, if Georgia hadn't, say, for example, the Republican nominees had actually held their seats in the Senate, then, you know, you could argue that, oh, well, maybe the election results from back in November are fraudulent, because that would give it more credence than what happened now. But I mean, I still don't think it gives it credence even in that regard, but even more so, it's like, come on, man. Like, so now you're going to just throw out the votes for the Senate that just came through
with no legal basis either. With no legal basis or any type of evidence. See, when he was petitioning all of these courts to review the actual certified votes, and, you know, this whole claims of ballot fraud, mail-in fraud, of multiple addresses being used for certain votes that were casted, in which he was not on the receiving end. And most, right, of these courts denied the, you know, petitions, like, hey, nothing here, unless you have a significant amount of evidence to be able to substantiate what it is that you're saying. We don't understand why you are petitioning the state courts at the state levels to even pursue this nonsense. So, hey, I mean, it's, you know, classic Donald Trump.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of just like when it works in your favor, you're not questioning the results. But when it's not in your favor, now you're going to go back and try to. I just think it's just ridiculous because, you know, another thing that's hypocritical is that he wants to discount mail-in voting. And people that voted mail-in voting voted because of this virus that's going on. But the Democratic Party knew that and the Republican Party knew that. And so, but the thing about it is, man, like every election you vote by mail, you don't go into, even this election, he didn't go in the polls and vote in person. So it's like, you can't be, you know, a hypocrite in that regard. You know what I'm saying? You're going to discount mail-in voting and all this other stuff, but like, you're the main person that utilizes that particular form of voting. So it's like, I don't know. I just think it's just, the whole thing is crazy. And I think,
that's what they do. That's what they do. It's like you just said, whenever it's beneficial to me and my party or it's conducive to whatever it is that I'm trying to do, then it's all good. But when something goes against me and it doesn't work in my favor, then it's fraud, then it's, you know, fake news, then it's the media that has this biased agenda towards me. And, you know, it's the classic, you know, point the finger and then hide the hand.
Yeah, you know, I just think that on top of all of that, it's like, if you go down the rabbit hole of like trying to discount these votes, then, I mean, really, it is kind of like our democracy is at stake, because really any candidate moving forward could just make a big stink about it and change the election results against what the voters, the mass populace, wants. You know what I'm saying? So I just think that people don't see it as a real threat to our democracy, but it really is. You know what I'm saying? They don't see it for what that is.
Well, in regards to what you just said, remember that worked against Hillary Clinton, because they had, you know, she won the popular vote, but they had faithless electors before certain states had came up with faithless elector laws to make sure that the whoever was on behalf of the states and electoral college in particular for the presidency, that they had to uphold whatever the popular majority vote was within the state in which they were representing as far as the electoral college level was concerned.
Yeah, so I just think what's going on is crazy at the Capitol. And it's funny because a lot of people on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook, especially Black Twitter, is talking about how, you know, if these were Black people that was up there protesting, then, well, there would be tear gas, there would be rubber bullets and stuff, there would be fire and hell to pay. But, you know, these people are up there protesting, and they're calling the National Guard of D.C. to come out. Whereas, like, you know, the police presence that whenever there was like a Black Lives Matter protest, there was people out there. And I'm not drawing, you know, parallels and saying, oh, well, you know, some of those protests that took place were justified or anything like that, because there was different protests that took place that went out of hand. And I do think that some of the protests that took place earlier in the year that were in the name of Black Lives Matter, we know, looking at some of those photos and looking at the people, it was opportunists. It was people that was using the opportunity to try to change the narrative, to be out here pretending like they're, you know, protesters, but they really just trying to loot and steal stuff, you know. And so, like, let's take it to this situation. What if all of a sudden the same thing happened? It's like a mob mentality. When there's civil unrest, then it's like goes unchecked. There's all kinds of crazy stuff going on. But it's funny how when it's a mixture of Black faces or brown people out there, you know, it's like those are people that are anti-American and they're terrorists. But like, what are these people? These people literally shot some lady.
These are derelicts of society. And what they fail to realize is that corporate elite Congress, that they don't classify these people as patriots at all, because they don't view themselves as patriots. Everybody that's up there, and this is just my opinion, everybody that's up there on Capitol Hill are working on behalf of corporate money and corporate welfare. And these people are the undesirables of society, of that higher 1% elite society. They don't want those people around at all. So the people that are out there calling themselves patriots and people that are trying to protect and preserve the United States Constitution you'll see within the next couple of days that Congress, when they do actually reconvene, they'll write all types of new laws and put all type of new security measures in place to make sure that nothing like that ever happens again. The fact that somebody was able to access Nancy Pelosi's office and leave a note on her desk, whatever that note might have contained or whatever was said in that note, at the end of the day, the Republican Party as well as the Democratic Party agree and they come together on one major topic, and that is a disdain for the working body. And most of those people that were out there are, you know, what they would consider, you know, scumbags, losers, people that don't matter, seriously. And I'm not saying that to insult anybody that might be listening to this. That's just the reality of it. When these people are elected, they're not elected to represent you. They're there to represent special interests. Now, have certain people been able to benefit from certain programs that the government might provide and certain subsidies and things of that nature? Yes. But the long game or the long con is to basically have a system of classes in which those people that are there calling themselves patriots are not a part of. They're not a part of that club. That's just my
opinion. Yeah, I do agree with you because, you know, you see how quickly that the tables turn because they're over here calling for like Mitch McConnell to stand up, and Mitch McConnell done already put out a statement talking something, I'm paraphrasing, but something along the lines of, you know, that he's appalled at the fact that there's this breach at the Capitol. He's calling for Donald Trump to put this in order because he's like, you know, your people is out of line and we're going to uphold the election results. He basically said something along those lines. And he's just, this was as he was being rushed out of the Capitol. You know what I'm saying? And so I don't know how valid this is, but I was on social media and this one dude that I follow, he's like some kind of he's in the politics or something somehow, you know, I don't really recall how exactly he's connected to politics. And he was talking about how Mike Pence's Twitter, like his, you know, you have a picture over your headline or whatever. His picture was Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And then he quickly flipped that and changed the background to his page. But I thought that was funny. I don't know how valid that was, but I thought that was funny that if that was true, if that was his background, like, dang, that was low key, like some shade in there.
Well, I'll tell you, Mitch McConnell, Lindsey Graham's, well, like I said, once they do have access to get back into the Capitol Hill, you know, and are able to go back to their offices and things of that nature, they're going to have that place fully clean, fully sanitized, because the filth, the American germ, the American trailer trash. No, I'm dead serious right now. The American trailer trash.
Well, they're going to put it as, oh, we're cleaning it for the...
Of course. It makes $12 an hour. Those are that's who's out there. People with real means and serious large amounts of money, you know, they're going to do whatever they want to do regardless because they have money. The people that have drunk the Trump's Kool-Aid are basically, like I said, the undesirables. They don't count as it relates to, you know, policies and public law and stuff like that. So all of these Second Amendment gun holders and people that run out there with their shotguns and all of that, like how they did in my home state up in Michigan, didn't bring any of that energy to Capitol Hill, because that's when I think that if they did bring that type of energy there, that it would have been hell to pay. Because one thing about that 1% elite politicians, they don't all of that nonsense, the guns and all that around them. They let the power of being able to write laws influence them, you know, which is way more powerful than hillbillies running around with their shotguns and all of that.
Yeah, but I think that you're right to a certain extent that, you know, if it was a whole bunch of people with guns and stuff like the way they were out there in Michigan in front of the Capitol building in Michigan protesting the governor, everybody had guns, but somebody up in there had guns. Because think about it, like I said, this one lady was shot in the chest and originally she was in critical condition, but now they're saying that she died. So I don't know what the circumstances. Wow. Yeah, I don't know what the circumstances with regards to why she was shot. If she was just an innocent bystander, or if she was like a counter protester, I'm not really sure. But you know, it's funny because originally I had some tickets to go to the inauguration at the end of this month. But before all this happened, like before New Year's, I decided to just cancel that trip because I figured, like, you know, the cases are out of control. And I just was like, I don't want to be around all these dang on people out there standing, because, you know, it only takes a couple of people without no dang on mask. And then I did think about, like, what if there was protesters and stuff like that? What am I black ass do? You know what I'm saying? Am I going to sit out there and just, you know, because I thought... kind of came to mind, like, what if some shit like popped off? Like, what the hell would I do in that situation? So I started thinking about that, and I was like, nah, I'm good. Like, I'm just gonna cancel my trip. I just was like, nah, I think the energy about to be off. I don't see this being a positive thing, like, at all. So, you know, subsequently I decided to just cancel that trip, and I'm kind of glad I did, because seeing all this protesting stuff popping off has me really thinking, like, it's about to on and popping. Or what I do think could happen is that Biden could just be like, look, we're virtual. So that's definitely a possibility with everything going on with the pandemic, and then with this whole rioting, but, you know, out there at the Capitol right now, you know, you don't want to bring that same type of energy. Otherwise, you're gonna have to be armed and have like a whole blockade in front of the White House in order to make sure that people don't come anywhere near the president.
You know, the irony about all of this, because you know, the irony about all of this is that it's funny because the protesters are storming Capitol Hill, but they storming Capitol Hill for the wrong reason, right? Because it's a lot of people
storming the Capitol Hill behind that on $600 that we got.
I was just, you took the words right out of my mouth. I was just about to get into the aspect of, you want to protest, but you're protesting on behalf of a billionaire who's returning back to the warm, you know, state of Florida. And like I was saying, a lot of people in that crowd look like they really, really need $2,000 right about now. Protest for the right reasons and stop, you know, protesting and you going to bat for somebody, like I said, that's well off. And once his show is over, which it will be eventually, you got to go back and you got to wake up to the same crappy little life and crappy little existence in which, and even if you, because trust me and believe me that most people that are well off or well to do, or if they still bought into the whole middle class existence of America, the 275 to 450K a year, people are not out there. It's just the reality. They're not out there. They don't associate or go around people like that. That's kind of like the family that you forget about. Even if you have relatives like that that are hardcore pro Donald Trump supporters, they don't associate with those types.
I think to a certain extent that the majority of the people that are there, you know, you're right. There are people that are in the lower middle class, or the you know, just straight up middle class. But I do think that there are a lot of people who are, you know, making 250 to 400 that voted for Trump, but they just ain't here. They ain't out because they're like, it is what it is. Because again, they like his policies in terms of getting them the tax breaks that they wanted and all that type of stuff. But they're not out there because they're just like, okay, well,
that's
what
yeah.
The show going still going to be, you know, paying into, you know, these special interest groups to get my particular things that I want tax wise or whatever passed and get those things done. Cause that's not going to stop just because we have a Democrat in the White House. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of the Republicans liked about Biden is that they felt like he kind of like was this intermediary figure, like where they could negotiate with him.
He was. That's why they wanted to deal with him. That's why Mitch McConnell and the Lindsey Grahams and the people that have basically been at the head of the GOP for the better part of 30, 35 years now want to actually deal with him, because he's considered a moderate Democrat. He's not, or I would even say he's more of a conservative Democrat to a certain extent. They want to deal with somebody who they don't deem as being radical as somebody like an AOC or a Nancy Pelosi. But I just wanted to point that out. I was saying that that's highly interesting that the same people who had access to the Capitol should have looked at the roll call and see who voted against them getting that $2,000, you know, or said no. I mean, right. You know, that's crazy to me.
Right.
Right. Mitch McConnell, the Mitch McConnells, the Lindsey Graham, the Ted Cruz's of the world. But yeah. It's to deflect from that. These are serious times. A lot of people are in very basic needs are not being met. A lot of people don't have any type of income, or if they do, it's very limited. But more power to them. I mean, I wish that I really had a loyal fan base like that.
I know. I mean, it's crazy because, you know, all this stuff with the coronavirus is kind of like making it to where, like, for example, things that's going on here in Arizona and how like the cases are just off the chart. You know what I'm saying? Right now, I think I had read somewhere that Arizona has more cases or has
we're a new hotspot.
We're a new hotspot in the nation, but we're apparently for certain days we were the hotspot in the world. You know what I'm saying? So like we're leading cases in the world right now, which is crazy. Yeah, you know,
exactly, because let's just be honest, you know, a lot of the industry in Arizona is tourist related, hospitality related. Yep. Restaurants, a lot of stuff is not essential businesses. It's an entitled state of leisure. People come here to vacation, hang out, catch the sun, you know, go hike in nature, yeah, and retire. But in terms of an essential workforce, it's not that state. And Ducey is so responsible for a lot of this because he's trying to play both ends of the fence. And he knows that Arizona should have been shut down because a lot of people still want to socialize. A lot of people still want to go out to these restaurants. That number one hot spot, you know, restaurants, a lot of people still no masks. I mean, I get it. You know, how can you eat? You can't eat with a mask on. But it's like, if he would have done the right thing and said, you know what, we're going to have to bite the bullet. I'm sorry if you are, you know, if you're a single woman and you own a LLC, single man or whatever the case may be, and you own a restaurant, you're going to have to shut this down or you're going to have to move to online only, you know, and limit in regards to the staff that you have there to even prepare the food. It's a lot of these hospitality industries, restaurants, hotels, stuff like that that's still open and it shouldn't be. And I blame Doug Ducey responsible. But what's your opinion on that?
Well, I agree with you because that was the main reason why he didn't want to shut down. He never, even though people were like, oh, you know, we were shut down. We were never shut down because the majority of the businesses were not shut down. And so I think that you're right. A lot of the people out here still going to restaurants. And I mean, you go to restaurants now and I mean, the majority of them are not, that like, they're just as packed. Like when family came, I had family come for Christmas. Now I really was kind of adverse to that because I really didn't want them to come, but they came on their own accord. And I was like, look, you know, y'all gonna have to just stay at a hotel. Y'all can't stay at my house because it's just too, the numbers is just crazy, but that's neither here nor there. But we had went out because I was like, all right, we can go get food, but it has to be a place that has a patio. And I get that it's winter time. It was kind of chilly. And so, you know, there's only so many restaurants that have enough patio space and have heaters and stuff like that. But we knew of restaurants in our area that had those type of things. So we went to Raw Sushi and we went up to that restaurant. And I'm telling you, like, it was so dang on packed. And then there was a dude that walked by me that didn't have his mask on or nothing. And majority of the people in there were kind of wearing masks. But again, you know, if they're eating, you can't tell people that socializing while they're eating, hey, you know, you got to wear a mask if you're not eating your food. You know what I'm saying? People are going to talk, you know, and people are talking loudly. That's another thing. Like, I'm reading about this virus is that, like, you shouldn't really be like yelling and talking and laughing all loudly and stuff, because that's projecting, you know, all of that out there into the enclosed environment. But anyway, I was just like surprised. So we were like, okay, we want to be outside on the patio because there's only a few people on the patio. And the girl was all flustered at the front. She was like, oh, you know, we just hired this girl out there and she's new. And so she's having trouble keeping up with the people that are out there in the patio and servicing them. And I'm like, you know, I'm the customer. Like, that doesn't have nothing to do with me if y'all have those type of issues, you know what I'm saying? But I was willing to wait, but it just seemed like she was trying to pressure me to want to accept sitting inside. And I was like, no. So I was like, look, y'all got a lot going on over here. I'm just going to go to the restaurant next door. So we left, we went to the restaurant next door and we ate outside in the patio and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, I saw that. I was like, majority of these restaurants out here are packed. So how are you socially distancing in a packed environment? Like, I just feel like most of them are still at the same capacity that they were before the coronavirus situation was going into play. Cause I don't see hardly any mask wearing. I don't see, except for the people that work there, I don't see, you know, social distancing. And I don't care how much you have people spaced apart. If you ain't got no windows and stuff like that open, it's the same thing. It's the same shit. You still going to have virus potentially if somebody had COVID up in there. It can travel all in the air and stuff that's enclosed. So it doesn't make any, it's like there's no difference. So I believe that that's how people are catching it. And I read that somewhere that majority of people are catching it from being indoors and eating at restaurants. And, you know, they're not shutting these restaurants down. And then another thing is people are still coming here for the holidays and stuff, you know, because they want to escape warmer weather. So they're going and meeting with family and their family's not making them wear masks. You know, what's the likelihood of that happening? So that's the reason why it's important for him to put in this whole shutdown, because they're just not able to keep social distancing in place. And he's never going to do that, though. And I'm not even saying that they have to lock it down for a super extended period of time. You know, I'm talking about just like a couple of weeks, you know what I'm saying? But people don't want to go back to that same situation where, oh, well, you can't go anywhere and all the businesses can't survive. And I understand that. But I think that more businesses have resources now, more businesses are on Uber Eats and on, you know, on these different platforms now than they were before, you know, so they should be able to keep up with orders and whatnot. Hell, even if you have to hire some of those people that were servers and make them, you know, in there cooking the food up, I don't know, but I think there's a way that they could do it. But I do realize that there's limitations in terms of like every restaurant ain't got a patio to where they can service.
Well, see, that goes back to, I'm sorry to cut you off, but that goes back to what I was saying. Like these people will pick the wrong arguments and pick the wrong fight. Now, when we looked at that CARES Act, they bailed out the entire airline industry, the entire cruise and entertainment resort industry, casinos even got grants from that original CARES Act. It was $3 trillion, right? But a lot of people don't understand who qualifies for an SBA. You know, if you don't have $2.5 million in gross receipts, you don't qualify for an SBA loan. You qualify for a line of credit that still has to be approved through a bank. So this is what I'm talking about. When you got people out there protesting at the Capitol, the restaurant owners and people like that, you should be protesting against whoever it is that was elected to the House of Reps or the senators. Basically represents your district where you live at in your certain state. As far as Doug Ducey, I really think, you know, it's like you said, you're absolutely right. It's kind of like that long hand con game. He's trying to protect the Arizona economy and the Arizona dollar. And most importantly, he's trying to protect getting reelected. That's what it's about with Doug Ducey, you know. So in regards to these restaurants and airports, even the casinos, a lot of the casinos are still open. You know, what are they calling it now? Like, oh, a limited capacity. Okay, define limited capacity. What type of policies are the casinos putting in place to make sure that people are social distancing? You don't see any stuff. And you made a very valid point. Arizona is a state where, like you said, a lot of snowbirds, that's the term. A lot of people that want to get the cold weather come down here. You know, if you look at the Sky Harbor Airport, that's one of the busiest airports on the West Coast, the entire West Coast. And you figure Phoenix is a top five city in regards to population. So you figure if on the average of 4 to 5 months, you get an additional 700 to maybe, I would even go on records to say maybe even 1 million people that are just visiting within a 4 to 5 month span, man. How is our numbers ever going to go down if you're not willing to sacrifice and explain to the people of Arizona? But we live in an interesting state because you have a lot of people that are not from here that bring a lot of these ideologies and a lot of this falsehood in regards to somebody is suppressing them. The government is suppressing them. Well, don't have it both ways. Then stop. If you feel as if the government is suppressing you, stop taking $1,200 payments from stimulus plans or begging for them to give you money. And then you're going up there protesting about nothing, or you basically trying to save the baby and the bathtub water in regards of a billionaire. But then you got to, like I said earlier in this episode, you got to retire back to the same existence. I don't get it. And I never will. So,
yeah, I agree with you in that regard. I just think that really that there needs to be something done, because it's ridiculous that we're leading the nation right now in terms of cases. I mean, we have to do something. We're going to be at a situation right now. I think we're at 120% capacity or something like that in the hospitals, and they're flying people, you know, nurses and whatnot in from other places in order to be able to handle the load. And what people don't realize, and this is something that a nurse had clued me in on, right now what's happening in California, and it's going to start happening here in Arizona, if your ass get shot or you get in a car accident and you get effed up real bad behind that and you need an ambulance, like, they have to fly you to another hospital out of the state in order to treat you. So likelihood of you dying from your injuries is very high because they just have such high capacity in the ICUs and in rooms and stuff like that, that they can't treat those patients. And then if you have non-life-threatening injuries, like, say, you know, maybe you have a situation where maybe your blood pressure is dangerously high, you need to go to the emergency room. Well, you're not going to be able to go to the emergency room. What they're doing is they're sending the ambulance people to you to basically treat you right there in your apartment or your home's parking lot or whatnot, instead of taking you to the hospital to be triaged. So they're attempting to treat you right where you're at instead of taking you to the hospital. And I'm just like, man, that's crazy. There's a lot of situations where that's just not going to cut it. And people are going to basically be dying secondhand that has nothing to do with COVID, all because they couldn't get treated, they couldn't see a medical professional in time. Like, think about with women who are, you know, maybe they're in labor or something and they're about to give birth and they have to basically give birth, you know, in the back of an ambulance or something like that. I mean, what if you have a situation where anything happens while you're trying to give birth? You know, you end up passing away, or there's a lot of bleeding or something, or it's not super, how do you say, it's not super like easy to get that delivery going. You know, anything could happen to you. So I think that that just scares me, because I think about that, you know, as far as even with us, like our safety, you know, if something happens to us within the next month or a couple of months, what the hell, like we can't even get proper medical attention.
And it's ridiculous. It's all in the name of capitalism, like you just said, because our entire state is becoming a super spreader. And to piggyback off of what you just said, we're not even talking about the mass exodus that's coming in from California. A lot of people don't realize that California is going through a mass exodus, and it's a lot of people that are moving to Arizona from California. You got to think, when they pack up, they're coming in contact with the movers, they help them pack, and they get the U-Haul truck, that's contact. They stop at a gas station on the interstate, contact, you know, they get the keys from the real estate agent if they purchase the house, or from the apartment complex if they're going to be renting a place here, that's contact. You know, then if they start a new job, that's introducing a new, you know, so it's crazy right now. The only thing I can really tell people is, you know, use your common sense, be safe, be smart out there. Do not continue to dine in at restaurants, going to movies. You know, sometimes we just got to sacrifice, even if that means, you know, for the greater good, because to me, I view it as a selfish act. If I'm taking up hospital space when, you know, because I'm a COVID patient, not to say that, you know, you could be practicing and doing everything hygienically and, you know, still contact coronavirus, but I definitely wouldn't be putting myself out there to become contagious and therefore, and hence hindsight, taking up an ICU space because I'm on a ventilator, whereas somebody who might be a gunshot wound victim, you know, might need that ICU bed that I'm currently occupying. So a lot of this stuff, man, it's selfish acts.
I think a lot of these people right now are catching it, that just thought to themselves, oh, it's not real and whatnot. But I'm telling you, like, I just heard so many people. I mean, and it's crazy because, like, a lot of people in our family have told me about how they have friends that have recently passed away from the COVID and everything like that here in Arizona. And I just think to myself, like, man, it's simple. Just wear a mask, and that can help in a lot of regard. And people just don't want to follow that. They just want to do whatever they want to do. And then they catch it and then they feel sorry. Because, like I said, everyone that I know that's caught it, they said it feel like they about to die. And I don't know about anybody else. And this is just me, because this is how my brain works. But I know they claim that this virus has over 90%, you know, most people recover from it. But let me tell you, I don't want to catch no shit where I feel like I'm about to die. I'm just being 100. I don't care what it is. If it's some shit where, you know, I feel like I'm about to die and it's something I could have did to prevent it, even if I don't die, like, I just feel like I don't want to go through that. I don't want to have to deal with, you know, that whole situation, you know? So I just think like, that's what I keep hearing from everybody that's caught this shit. Even people that had quote mild symptoms, it was like, yeah, that shit was riding me. Like, it was just crazy. It was, you know, I just felt terrible. Even people that, you know, just had a mild case. I don't want to go through that. I don't, you know, I have not heard anybody tell me, oh, it was just like having the flu. You know, when you get a bad flu or bad cold, like, no, like, and no one that I know or no one that I've read about, nobody that I've heard that's caught it has ever told me that. Even people that I know at work that caught it, that were skeptics and that are, you know, pro-Trumpers and everything like that, that have caught this, they're like, man, it was pretty bad. You know, so that just lets me know that if you actually know somebody that had this shit, you don't want to catch it. You don't want it, you know? So
only a fool will put themselves in harm's way. And if you're stupid enough to continue to go out there, and if you want to play with your life, I just don't like, you know, you going around older people, you going around doing the most and you putting everybody else's life on the line. That's what I don't like.
I get it, because I feel like, you know, it is getting to a point where we didn't dealt with this for a very long time, and you know, a lot of us are fatigued from the fact that we haven't been able to do anything. Like, I think back on, you know, just last year, almost around this time last year, my ass was on a beach in Fiji. You know what I'm saying? I was over here having a good old time. And then before that, I went to two different parts of Mexico, you know? And so I'm just like, man, I mean, normally by this time, I would have been on so many more trips. I would have did so many more things. I just think back on like, dang, like I was trying, you know, I didn't realize I'm living all this life, because at some point I'm not going to be able to live this life. I'm not going to be able to go out and be traveling. And so that's why, I mean, at the back of my head, I always took it that way. Like, I want to experience things, because there's going to be a point where I'm not going to be able to easily do that. I just thought that that shit would be whenever I have kids or something.
But see, it's a sacrifice. I mean, yeah. And you know, this whole restlessness as an excuse, I mean, come on, man, everybody want to be able to do shit, you know? So yeah, to me, that's right. Not a valid excuse, you know, yeah. Just because people is restless. But in regards to just the local stuff, in regards to being able to go catch a movie, being able to go, yeah, I want to go to take a trip to Six Flags and all that nonsense.
Some people, man, they can't afford to go travel like that. So this is their way.
That's true. That's, you know, true. But saying? Then again, once again, that word that I just used, sacrifice. You know, I pretty much, you know, washed my hands with 2020. Yeah. You know, March of 2020, I pretty much washed my hands, and I figured I said the entire year is going to be a wash. You know, did I come into January 2021 trying to be optimistic, have a positive outlook? Yes, and I'm still trying to go with that vibe, but I'm also understanding that it's going to be a little bit longer in regards to a sacrifice. So,
yep. So I think that closes out, because, you know, 2020 is a wrap. I'm glad we made it to 2021.
And look forward to everybody tuning in and listening. You guys can also follow us on our various social media platforms that will be linked in the description. It's What's the Deal Cuz Twitter, What's the Deal Cuz on IG, and What's the Deal Cuz podcast on Facebook. You guys be sure to check us out for the upcoming episodes. We appreciate you guys for tuning in and listening. I'm Dre Chili, and my co-host is
AZ Shan.
We're signing out. What's the deal, cuz? We'll be right back.